it's just blown out so much more than we'd expected. We got recognised in the US the other day by a passerby. Blew my mind.
Yeah. So wild. I mean, wow, what was that like?
I was
getting coffee.
I was sitting down eating chips at the pier.
Kia ora, this is Voices, and I am Kadambri Raghukumar. I'm talking today to Simran Kaur and Sonia Guptan, both in their early 20s, and over the past 2 years, they've become phenomenally successful with their finance podcast, Girls That Invest. They just came back from their TEDx talk in the States when I got to speak to them earlier in April in Auckland, still buzzing from their trip.
Imagine this, she's sitting on Santa Monica Pier with chili cheese fries.
By myself, eating away. Sonia's not around, I look like a complete loner. And a girl came up and she was like, excuse me, like, are you Girls That Invest? Are you Sim? And I was like, I wish she didn't see me like this, but I am.
I'm still trying to process everything.
And that's fair enough too. To give you an idea about just how phenomenally successful, they're sitting at about 150,000 followers on Instagram. They've just hit their 1 millionth podcast download, and one of them has just hit their millionaire milestone. We're talking big and clever investment success here. I first met Simran and Harsharan, her other friend, just a few years ago, when they were running The Indian Feminist. That's another wildly successful Instagram handle with nearly 300,000 followers. It's an online space for social commentary on feminism from an Indian woman's point of view. But Sim and Sonia go way back before all of that.
How did both of you meet, and when did this idea sort of take seed?
So we met when we were 5, so we've known each other for a long time. Maybe too long.
Maybe too long.
So we've been friends our whole lives, and we never really spoke about money. You know, as your friend, you would speak about, like, school or uni, or you'd speak about your problems, but you'd never speak about, like, money problems or money, you know, stories or what you're going through, what you make.
Demystifying investment. These women are keeping things very real through their podcast, helping thousands across the world wrap their heads around the stock market, investments, and owning financial freedom. Basically, smashing the patriarchy one share at a time.
Doing The Indian Feminist at the time, and one of the biggest issues I was noticing is that with the sort of patriarchal society that, you know, you can sometimes be brought up in, money really upholds the patriarchy.
The stories that I heard about women and their money actually came from you and your experiences.
Yeah, a lot of the experiences would be like examples of, you know, like, kind of sad stories of a woman being stuck in a marriage that might have not been so safe, but because of finances she couldn't leave, or examples of, you know, someone wanting to be able to start their own business as a woman with their family, but their husband may have not been comfortable with that idea, and so they never could, you know. And so then examples of just situations that, you know, you kind of see growing up in different households and uncles and aunties in the community, where as a child you don't understand why this is happening, and it's not till you get older and you go, oh, it's because of money.
And then lockdown happened in March 2020.
When we first had that conversation, it was early 2020, and we'd been friends for so long, and it was the very first time that we had actually spoken about money so freely. Like, we talked about how much we made, how much we'd saved, what our goals were, if we invested, and it was on the floor of Simran's bedroom in her flat in Hamilton, and it was like about an hour and a half of us just opening up. And I think what floored me is that we were so comfortable talking about everything but this just one taboo topic that we never really talked about. And so Sim started Girls That Invest. It was a lockdown idea, March 2020, and a few months after she was like, I want to do a podcast.
Simran's Punjabi and Sonia is from Kerala in South India, pretty much both raised here in New Zealand by immigrant parents.
So in what way did, you know, the classic immigrant aspirations of your parents, imagine having moved to New Zealand, in what way did that impact your belief system in terms of finances and the understanding of money growing up.
Everyone has what's called like a money history or a money story, which is the way that you've grown up and maybe the experiences you've had with your parents or what you've seen around that shapes and determines how you might view money. And so it's going to be different for each person. But from my own experience, it has been this idea that if, you know, with money, it's more of a tool. And it's, you know, if you have money, you have the tools to then go away and live a life that you want, as opposed to a life that you have to put up with.
We never talked about it. We never talked about money growing up. I just remember not thinking about money or even having like an interest with money until my brother, when I was 18, he gave me Rich Dad Poor Dad. It was one of his old copies, and he was in like this personal development finance like world. He was making good money. He was in Australia at that point. And that's when I was like, this is interesting, because I think he could have gone about it in a few different ways. One, he could have just told me what to do. But two, he was like, no, you need to read this and figure it out for yourself. So that was the personal experience that I had. And because we never spoke about it, I never spoke about it with anyone else. And so again, that reinforced this, we don't talk about money. Like, it's not our place to talk about it.
And here you are today talking about it literally every week to what, hundreds of thousands of people.
It's a career now.
It's my career now.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Welcome to Girls That Invest. You're joined today by your hosts, Sim and Sonia, two millennial investors who are here to help you learn about all things investing and personal finance. Today, we're going to be talking about the NFT bubble and if it's going pop. You know, the rest of the world, whether it be shares, ETF, crypto, it's all kind of dropping right now.
Jargon. The finance world is full of that. And only about 20% of women worldwide get past that jargon to actually invest.
Jargon tends to be one of the biggest barriers that hold women back. When we speak to like our community and we ask them, like, what stopped you from investing? Why haven't you started? The number one reason is always, I just don't feel like it's a space for me. I don't feel like I'm invited to invest. It still feels like a man's world or something that men do. You know, like, they talk about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, and that doesn't really interest me. Because women tend to invest differently than men. We tend to look at a holistic goal that we have and invest towards it, as opposed to looking at trends that are going on in the world.
And money media doesn't help as well. I think, you know, you've explained a few times, like, the ads catered to men towards, like, wealth creation and making money, and this is what millionaires do, compared to women who's like, this is how you can save $10 on your grocery bill.
That's right. Yeah, where to get the best deals and how.
Yeah.
These are all incredibly honest conversations that you have on your podcast and you're having with me today. People can be quite protective of their insights when it comes to making money. Sharing those secrets isn't something that a lot of people are willing to do. I find it quite altruistic how you give that knowledge out so willingly.
Yeah, I mean, I literally share how much I make in a year, in a month. I share, you know, if I bought something, if I buy a house, how much it was, what I put down as a deposit. I think it's so easy for me because I can separate my money with my own self-worth. And when you can separate that, then it's just a number. It's not a reflection of myself. If I lost everything and I was making no amount of money, I would still have the same feelings about myself as if I was making, you know, millions of dollars, for example. And so I think if you can have that sort of self-belief of I am me, and then separately this is my money and my finances, then there's no shame in it. But I think it's hard to do. It's not something I was born with. And I'm just so nosy. Like, I grew up always asking people, you know, how much their house was and asking, you know, I would, you know, if I ever met someone that was wealthy, I would always ask them what their parents did for work. Like, I just wanted to know. And so I found that learning helpful for myself. So I want to give that back.
I'm very grateful for the platform and how, like, one of my favorite messages that we're getting is like, I've spoken to my mum about what I'm doing, like, with my investments. I've decided to talk to my younger siblings about all of this. It's very powerful in just normalizing the conversation. It is uncomfortable, I'm not going to lie. Like, I think for me, because I grew up not talking about it for as long as I did, I'm just always like, oh, Nazar, like the evil eye, someone's going to do something to me. And so I'm still getting used to the fact that we're so open about it. Would you share?
I almost felt like I was so shameless to speak about money, because it does come up in conversations. You know, you do go visit friends and family and they will mention like, oh, you know, Simran can take the bill this time. She makes X amount. It even got to the point where I was getting my nails done once, you know, just in Auckland. And once I was done, the lady next to me was like, by the way, congrats on making, you know, X amount last month. I saw you post about it on Girls That Invest. You're doing well. And I was like, wow, I can't even get my nails done without someone going, I know her salary. But that's the best part about that's the best part about our work. It's opening up those conversations. Someone can talk to me about it. They can talk to their friends about it. And then they can start sharing up among themselves.
Yeah.
So let's talk about numbers, because that's something that you would have not expected when you set out to make the podcast. That's phenomenal. I mean, it's a numbers game on every level for both of you right now.
Yeah. We've almost reached 1 million downloads, which is amazing. I think I knew it would do somewhat well, but I didn't expect it to do this well. I think there was no one else speaking about money, or at least about investing. So I knew that surely that this will help some people. And we made a deal with ourselves where, you know, we were getting about 1,000 listeners a month for the first year almost. And it wasn't a lot, but we said, let's stick it out for a year. And at least worst case scenario, we might learn or refresh our own memory on some things.
So exactly 2 years and 1 million downloads later, now is a pretty good time to look back at the past. But I had to ask about this podcast's future. It is, after all, one of the world's largest investing podcasts for women, homegrown here in New Zealand.
I'm still trying to process everything. When we were sitting and recording in her flat in Hamilton...
You keep mentioning Hamilton.
I'm sorry.
Of course. I mean, this is a key part of the story, you know?
It's Hamilton. It's what I've appreciated about it is even 2 years in, we still record in my bedroom now, you know, in my family home. It's still very grassroots and we've kept it between us. And I think that adds to the success and authenticity as well, because we've learned a lot.
We were asked to sell out earlier, I think end last year. But I mean, I don't want to say no right now, because never say never, but I don't have any plans to. I think it's so fun to be at the forefront and the back end of your own brand. Yeah. And you have your own independence where, you know, you make the calls. The content is truly what you want to share. The people that come on are truly the people you want to. And just one of the things that we get a lot is the comment of, you're so relatable. And I want to keep that. If people can listen to two best friends, two, you know, normal people talking about the stock market and their journeys, we hope that that encourages everyone else to go, well, if they can do it and if they can understand it, I'm sure I can grasp it too, and encourages them to then go out and talk to their friends and family and look into the stock market. You know, we don't necessarily say you should jump on this bandwagon or this trend, but you know, what even is a trend? What even is Elon Musk trying to say? It's just about breaking it down, because it's not difficult. It's just been made to kind of feel like this inner circle.
Simran Kaur and Sonia Gupthan of the podcast Girls Who Invest, sharing their story with me, Kadambri Raghukumar. Every week, I produce an episode of Voices, where I talk to people from all across the world who call New Zealand home. Follow us on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also find us on Facebook as RNZ_Voices. And you can also listen to our episodes on the RNZ website. Today's episode was mixed by Rangi Powick. Thanks for listening to Voices. I'm Kadambri Raghukumar.